you're with us this morning on a very special morning. Of course, they're all special when we're together. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Ralph Trask is a veteran pastor of nearly 50 years. He served as founding and senior pastor, he and his wife Nadine, of Bible Center Church since 1985 in Salem, which is now known as Fellowship Church. And Pastor Trask is now pastor on staff, and his son, their son Anthony, is now the senior pastor of the church as it continues on. And he's been married to Nadine for a long time, since 1964. And they have three daughters, one son, 11 grandchildren, is that right? 11 grandchildren. And they absolutely love Salem, Oregon, and they love Jesus most of all, and they love the body of Christ, which you will quickly discern from their spirits. Pastor Trask served for 24 years, we were speaking about yesterday, was it 24 years, as really president of the Northwest region of the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International. Now, that organization was begun 50 years ago by Gordon Lindsay, who also, many of you know, the organization Christ for the Nations. He began that as well. And we as pastors here belong to the fellowship, and he served that for 24 years as president, which therefore then made him vice president of the international organization. He still is on the international board. Dr. John Engstrom, who was here with us 2 weeks ago, is now serving in the stead of where Pastor Trask served for so many years. The Northwest region of this fellowship is actually the largest region in the U.S., covering Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Did I get them all in there? And Alaska. How could I forget Alaska? Anyway, they are precious-spirited people, and we are overjoyed to have them with us. So would you please give a warm Grace Christian Center welcome to Pastor Ralph and Nadine Trask of Salem, Oregon. Would you like to use this one or this one? Okay. All right. Very good. You bet you have water there, too, my.
Well, what a delight to be with some delightful folks. Amen. And my wife and I have thoroughly been enjoying the hospitality of your pastors. They're just fantastic folks. Can you take some of the bass out of that for me? And I got all my bass filled in. I'd appreciate that. Amen. Well, this is our first time out in your neck of the woods. And we are truly impressed with the beauty.
I bragged about the sunshine.
I know, and but we're just delighted and honored to be here. And I want to say that a church can't be all bad when the pastor wears cowboy boots.
There you go. There you go.
I'm all for that. And I sense the heart of Pastor Kevin. I know the heart of Pastor Carl and Sister Sherry. What precious folks, and how blessed we are to have them out here ministering. And they literally wrote the book on serving one another. They wrote the book on hospitality. And I know of no equal anywhere when it comes to hospitality. And so we truly, truly are blessed to have them as our dear friends. Unlike my wife of some years. Well, about a year and a half, we'll be doing our 50th. But, honey, would you stand and greet the folks with me here this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Life just has a way of catching up to us after a while. I can't believe that I've been pastoring and ministering for 50 years, married almost 50 years, and next week, week after next, we'll be celebrating our 50th class reunion, and I'm so delighted to meet our friends here that I had the honor of going to junior high school and high school with. I'm a year ahead of it, but his 50th is coming right up here real soon. But they knew that. They knew that. Okay, well, I've just been up here thinking, Lord, I've got so many wonderful thoughts going through my head I'd love to share with you. But I've been listening to your heart, the heart of your pastors, listening to the vision that you have for your region here and for this church. And so I'll probably do a little departure from what I was going to do this morning. But I often love to just share something that has very little relevance to anything I'm going to say from hither on, just to kind of break the ice a little bit. Okay. Oh, my goodness. We're living in interesting days. I was thinking the Apostle Paul would have been hard-pressed to live today with all this Facebooking going around. Because he said, I choose to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? I long for those days again. How about you? Amen? So, but the economy is so bad now that I received a pre-declined credit card in the mail. How many have had one of those? CEOs are now playing miniature golf. Exxon Mobil laid off 25 congressmen. And Angelina Jolie had to adopt a child from America. That's how bad the economy is right now. Motel 6 won't leave the light on anymore. A picture is now only worth about 200 words. And they renamed Wall Street Walmart Street. Finally, I called the suicide hotline and I got a call center in Pakistan. And when I told them I was suicidal, they got all excited and asked if I could drive a truck. Those are bad, bad, bad. I know, they're really bad. Really bad. Well, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 2. I'm just going to do a short expositional sermon this morning, because somehow I feel that God wants to challenge this church to think outside the box a little bit. I've really been challenged since my son has been the pastor of our church. I see so many new trends, and I can't sing the songs anymore. They're wonderful songs, good words, but I just don't get the beat, you know. But I'm seeing a lot of young people come to Christ. And so I'm willing to sacrifice a Bill Gaither worship song now and again. Well, I get to still sing those in the shower. But we're seeing God do some amazing things, and I'm still allowed to be around, and that's a good thing. And I just want all of you out there that are somewhat mature. By the way, I've just had a rite of passage into senior citizenry because I've just had my eye surgeries, those cataract things, what do you call it, taken off, yeah. And so I'm going like, I used to watch seniors do this all the time, and I'm like, what's the matter with those folks? You know, I understand now. But God is doing some amazing things today. And God wants to do some amazing things out here in this beautiful part of the world. And, you know, you're just ready for a move of the Holy Spirit. Your pastors are praying. You're praying. I love that. Was it 7:14 concept? I want to take that back to Salem with me. You know, that's awesome. I like that. And I think about how God used Pastor Carl and his wife Sherry, over there in Pullman, Washington, little college town, and how they built that great church there and began to reach young people. You know, they had to think outside the box quite a bit to build that big church there. So I'm going to be reading the King James here for no particular reason other than what I want to translate it. I can take liberties. Okay. Are you with me? We're talking about Jesus here. Amen. What he did, where he went, and what happened when he arrived. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come to him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, your sins are forgiven you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And there were certain scribes there that, well, they were reasoning in their hearts. And what does this man mean and speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. And he said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, and go away into thine own house. Now, if you're reading along, read with me. And next week, much later. No, it says what? Immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God and said, We have never seen it on this fashion. This was a new experience for those people who had assembled there that day. And I just would love to prophesy and say to you, there will be people walk into this church who will leave and say, we've never seen it on this fashion before. Well, we've never seen people so excited about Jesus. We've never seen people just uninhibited in their worship and praise to God. I believe there are several keys in this simple passage I've read to you that will challenge us to reach outside this box and outside whatever little boxes we're in our preconceived notions of what God wants to do. So let's go back now and just kind of go through it expositionally. Well, Jesus came, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. Now, if Jesus doesn't show up, there's not a whole lot to talk about. Amen. If Jesus doesn't show up, we'd better stop boasting about whatever it is we're bragging about. There are so many things we can do to attract people to our churches. I think back over the 50 years of pastoral ministry that I've been involved in ministry activities, and I think of all the special focuses we had to bring people to church. I remember when I was a Sunday school superintendent, I was just a teenager, but learning in Christian education. And back then, there was a big push, a big emphasis on record keeping. If we just keep accurate records, we'll be able to just go through the file and call them up and go visit them and send them a birthday card and remember their anniversary and remember how old the kids are. And, you know, it's all in the records. And I remember we amassed a whole wall of files on people, you know. But amazingly, those cards just stayed in the file for some reason. A few of us accessed them, but the miracle, you know, was not in just having all that information written down. And there's a lot of information that you can write down about this community and about where you work and you live and you've retired. And information is wonderful, but it's going to take more than just the knowledge or the information about the community to reach them. Now, some of that is good, and you'll want to hang on to that. And I remember there was another time when, back in the 60s, it became popular to give away green stamps to visitors when they came to church. Anybody remember that? Pastor Carl, I guess that was before your time. Thank God you came along with the real deal, but Sunday schools were giving away green stamps for people who visited the church. All kinds of creative thinking and gimmickry went into trying to attract people to come to church. But somehow, I guess the people here at Capernaum had never heard of this. No green stamps, you know, no files of records, no big cards to fill out as they came in. But the word got out. It got noised abroad. I love that old English word, noise. It was broadcast. It was published. Somebody said something about the fact that Jesus is coming to our house. Hallelujah. Oh, when was the last time you made some noise for Jesus? Amen. Let's make a little noise in this community. Amen. Jesus is over here at this church, and God is moving by His Spirit, and the grace fellowship is growing, and miracles are happening. Oh, there's all kinds of guest speakers we can get to come. And there's all kinds of movies we can show or films, and all of that is wonderful. But if we can just say honestly and with all sincerity, Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. Forget about Elvis now. Jesus is in the house. Amen. And you know when He's there, and you know when He leaves too. But friends, He's here. I feel His presence this morning. He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there. He's probably seated right next to you right now. Jesus is in this very room. Hallelujah. Word got out that Jesus was coming to this particular house. Now, you would have thought they would have had to put this ad on TV or get it on the internet or rent one of these wonderful new signs that flash, you know, in color and bring all the news to you that you need to know or don't need to know. And you'd think it'd be an amazing thing. There's got to be some way to promote the fact that Jesus is in our church, that we're going to have revival, that God is doing great things. But people will come. People will come if their needs are being met. If they sense the love that I sense in here today, there's going to be folks that are going to be looking you up and saying, you know, we just need somebody that cares about us and understands us, that people who know how to pray. And they will come. I know there's all kinds of marketing strategies and they say if you build a better mousetrap or you do this or you do that, but it's not in the product line so much, and it's not in the promotion. It's in the reality that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Here we go again. Okay, where was I? So they came straightway, insomuch that there was no room to receive them in the house. No, not even so much as about the door. Now, I call that a packed house. Amen. Oh, amen. I can see Pastor Kevin getting all excited. You know, push those folding walls back. Let's set up some more chairs out here. Amen. Let's put some speakers in the parking lot. Let's get it going here. Amen. There's no room. What are we going to do? No room. I know that my son and his staff have thought outside the box in some areas that I scratch my head and say, oh, Lord, what are they doing now? So a couple years ago, for Easter, they were trying to figure out what they were going to do. And of course, we had a great Easter service, but they wanted to reach the community and get outside the box a little bit. Now, you probably won't agree with this, and I'm not sure I did either, but but they decided that they wanted to have a community event in which they would have an Easter egg hunt. Okay, I'm not into Easter eggs. Okay, that's what they were doing. But they wanted to drop him from a helicopter on a football field. And so this was broadcast all over the region. And, of course, every one of these little plastic eggs had a little prize in it. 10,000 eggs, I think. Oh, 25,000. 25,000 eggs, because some of you, my wife helped stuff those things. So anyway, the day arrived. We didn't know what would happen. We didn't realize. And then he came up with a further crazy idea. We're going to feed the first 1,000 people free hamburgers and hot dogs when they come, you know. Now, we're not a mega church, okay? We have a mega God. I'm so glad we do. But you know, so 200 or 300 people, that's a lot of financial responsibility. And so, anyway, we didn't know what to expect. So we got the helicopter and the people began to come. They started coming in 4 hours early and we were giving away like a widescreen TV or thin screen. What do you call those things? Flat screen TV and some video games and this and that. It's enough to attract their attention. So this was to start at noon, I believe. And so when noon rolled around, the football field around this school was completely packed. Lancaster Drive, which is a very major, major thoroughfare in our community, was jammed up. People were trying to get in. People couldn't get to work. They didn't know what was going on. And then the helicopter came over and started dropping these things. Well, it turned out they had to turn away, I think about 10,000 people, and we crammed 5,000 in around the football field. But every one of those people got a Bible, and they got a tract, they got an invitation. Forget the egg thing, that's neither here nor there. But it was crazy. It was like we never dreamed that could happen. Making a little noise, just making a little noise will get some people's attention. Now, I'm not saying that's, A number one evangelism, but we've seen a lot of people come to Christ because they knew where they could come to church. Will we ever do it again? Probably not. We're still paying for it, so. I warned him about that, but anyway. The Word of God, there was no room, but how do you attract people? What's the best thing you can give them when they come? Well, I would submit to you, it's right in the text here. He preached the word unto them. That's what people are hungry for. The truth. Reality. The Holy Spirit. And friends, that's what you have going for you. Amen. The presence of God. But we've got to find a way to get that presence outside this room and out into the community, don't we? No room to receive them, not even around the door, and Jesus preached the word to them. Now, I love this next phase of the story, and I know we've all studied it, heard it in Sunday school, and been amazed by it. But we find that there was one person in the community that was very sick, paralyzed, and had to be carried by friends. And these four friends were committed enough to not only invite their friend to church, but to carry him to the house of God. Now, this is about reaching the community. Number one, make sure Christ is there. Amen. Your prayer is going to create an atmosphere of the blessing and the presence of God. God's going to show you how you can make a little noise in your community. And some will come out of curiosity. But when they come, they're going to see there's something more going on here than what we thought. And somebody's going to bring somebody who's desperately ill. And this man had been sick. He was no doubt near death. I don't know how much convincing it took the four men that loved him or cared for him as a friend to bring him there. But I know they were determined. We know that from the text, don't we? And I can almost hear the conversation as they were talking with this young man and saying, let's just call him Fred. Fred, you've got to come down and see what's going on. And Jesus Christ is going to be down there at that house today. Hallelujah. And we'd like to facilitate that. We'd like to bring you there. We believe that he has the power because where he goes, things happen. We've heard about it. When Jesus shows up, people get saved. When Jesus shows up, dead men walk. Amen. When Jesus shows up, the blind can see and the lame can walk and the deaf can hear and the lepers are cleansed. When Jesus shows up, people get fed. When Jesus shows up, demons flee. When Jesus shows up, people are listening, straining on every word, because He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they know My voice." When Jesus shows up, He speaks as one who has authority. He doesn't have to scream and holler. He just speaks with authority. When Jesus shows up, people leave their nets. People leave their receipt of customs. When Jesus shows up, executions cease, suicides are disrupted, and dead people can't be dead any longer. When Jesus shows up, something good is going to happen. And we'd like to bring you into the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't think He put up much of resistance, actually. I'd want to go find out what was going on, too. And so they bring Him, carried by four friends. And now I see a parallel. As they approach the house, there's no room. And these are the obstacles that sometimes dissuade us from getting people to Jesus. And most of the time, it's just people. People dissuade us. All these people are crowding in. Nobody has the courtesy to open up and say, let these four men come in. They've got a paralyzed man who needs desperately to see Jesus. But everybody has their own ideas and their own needs and their own problems, and they all want His attention. You know, I think that when we begin to effectively evangelize our community, we're going to be forgetting a little bit more about what we want to do and be more concerned about the needs in the community. And that don't mean that there won't be plenty of ministry to go around, but you're going to be the ministers. You're going to be the ones that will say, you know, come on in. You can have my seat. I'll go stand in the back. Bring that young man down here and let the pastor pray with him. Let's minister to them. And so as they looked and surveyed the situation over, about this time, a lot of people who went out on their first big evangelistic crusade of bringing one person to Christ would have become very discouraged. We went to the trouble to invite them. We brought them. Now we can't get them in. Nobody will move over. Everybody's so selfish. You know what? Forget it. I'm just not going to be out. I'm not going to be a soul winner anymore. You know, this is not working. And they could have easily walked away discouraged and dismayed, as a lot of people do. But not these four.
Right.
Not these.
That's right.
Four. Now, I believe that your sack lunch has great potential. Amen? Maybe pack a few extras for the neighbors. Amen? God's going to give you wisdom to know how to approach them. But be ready for God to challenge you to do something outside the box. We had a gentleman come and speak for us a couple Sundays ago. We had a missions team go up to Portland to the Bridgeport Ministries. Anybody ever hear of Bridgeport Ministries? Well, anyway, it's a ministry where young people from local churches go to Portland. They go down and they live with the homeless people. And while they're there, they're ministering, of course. And this gentleman's name was Marshall, and he was a youth pastor at a large, successful church not too far from where we are. And things were really going for them. He said, all I had to do was pick my topic for my sermons, and the drama department put together a drama. And he said, I just snapped my finger. Everything just, it was just, we were really on a roll, reaching a lot of kids for Christ. But he said, I began to get really restless in my spirit. This was just, I was so good at ministry, I didn't even need God anymore, you know. I just knew how to flow with it, how to make things happen, how to promote. And he really was good at that, and a very successful youth minister. But God began to deal with his heart. And he and his wife had just had a new house built out in the country, getting all settled in, enjoying life, and having a good salary and everything. But he wasn't happy. And he said, God, and he said, I just had to take time off, walk away from that fast and pray. And so he did. Began to seek God. And he said, now, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, I want you to go to Portland, down on Burnside, if you're familiar with Portland. I want you to sweep streets and wash feet. Was that you, God? Let's try that again. Now, God, what can I do? I'm not happy here anymore. I've reached the pinnacle of my success. Is there anything I could possibly do? And the answer came back again. I want you to sweep the streets and wash the feet of the homeless. Now, are you glad God hasn't told you to do that? But as it turned out, some wealthy people said, we'll pay your salary for 2 years. You just go, do anything you want. And they gave him an old building down in downtown Portland, an old rattletrap building, and said, there's no strings attached, just do anything you want. So we said, we went there, we resigned the youth pastorate that they were in. We just began to walk the streets of Burnside, up and down and under the bridges where all the people lived, and pray, and pray, and pray. And then he went and bought a broom, literally, and begin to sweep off the entrances to the businesses where the homeless people often came and left their trash. They did that for about 6 months, just sweeping the entranceways. And then he said, one day I finally got up my nerve, because I never could get that whole washing the feet thing out of my mind. And the Spirit kept telling him it's time to start washing feet. And he said, the first guy that came along was not somebody you'd want to even get near, let alone touch their feet. But God said, wash his feet. And he had the pan, he had the water, he had everything there. And he said it was just everything within him was crying out, this is way too far outside the box. But the Lord had spoken. And he went, sir, could I wash your feet? Well, he was immediately confronted with a string of profanity and blah, blah, blah. But he ended up blankety blank, sure you can wash my feet, you know. And so he sat down on the curb, began to wash the man's feet, and he washed for about 30 minutes. He said he had to peel the socks off, one strand at a time. And he said that man began to pour his heart out from his past. And it was his first convert. And a great supporter today. And from there, they washed many feet. And now churches are sending their youth groups there for a missions encounter. Inner city missions encounter. Just washing the feet and sweeping the entrances off. And this Bridgeport Ministries has now grown. And God's blessed it financially. And it's reaching a lot of souls for Christ. There's got to be a way to reach people. There's got to be a unique approach for this area. A lot of hurting people out here in these beautiful homes around about. A lot of hurting families. There's got to be a way. And these four men are looking at the situation. Well, we can't bust through the crowd. There's no way we can go around and come in the back way because every window is, and door is jammed. Maybe we could tunnel under. But that's quite labor intensive and that might take a while. And our friend is hurting and it's getting late in the day. Should we just say at this point, oh well, we try. Whatever. We gave it our best shot. But these four men would not be deterred. Somebody said, look, it's the roof up there. Most roofs were flat, and people would go up and reside on their rooftops in the evening in the cool of the day. And they said, well, we could calculate where Jesus is standing, and then we could go up on that roof and begin to dismantle it. And if our calculations are correct, then we can take the ropes that we're carrying our friend with and carefully lower our friend right down directly in front of Jesus Christ. Now that's thinking outside the box. It's doable. It might get us in jail, but it's doable. Well, you know the rest of the story. They did it. They dismantled the roof, and you know the roofs of that tie were there's a lot of mud plaster up there, and the cross members and everything. Somehow they opened up the roof enough. And I'm just thinking about the poor people down under the roof, you know. What do those crazy people think they're doing up there? You're not going to please everybody.
Right on.
And you're not going to make everybody comfortable.
That's right.
But if you're desperate about reaching your generation, your community for Christ, you'll find a way to think outside the box. And they dismantled the roof and lowered him right down where Jesus was. And what the scripture could have said here and recorded was that Jesus was really impressed with their engineering ability to dismantle a roof. Or Jesus was really impressed with their skill at determining exactly where to put the hole in the roof. But no, it says Jesus saw their faith. You know, Jesus always sees faith. You may not be politically correct. You may not please everybody. But Jesus will see your faith. And how desperate are you to reach your loved ones for Christ? He saw their faith. How much time do I have, Pastor Kev? Well, I want to know about roughly. 10 more minutes? 10 more? Okay. I'm losing track of time up here. And then just at the moment that these four friends were up above, looking down, saying, wow, this is great. He's going to heal him now. Jesus also does something outside the box. He doesn't just immediately say, rise and walk. But he says, no. He says, son, your sins. You know what I'm talking about. Those sins, they're forgiven. That's the best news that young man had ever heard.
You bet.
Hallelujah. If he never walked again, it was worth the trip. Just to hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. You see, the Lord is so discerning of the real need of humanity and of even you and I, that what we perceive as being our need or others perceive is sometimes very, very veiled in all of our skill to hide those things. But Jesus sees the heart of man, and he knows what's in the heart of man. And he knew there was guilt down there, conviction and condemnation. And just to hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. Wow. And that's what people will experience when they come into the house of God. They may come in wheelchairs, but if they hear the Lord say, your sins are forgiven. They hear Pastor Kevin say, it's time for you that wish to commit your life to Christ to come forward this morning, and they make it up to the front.
Amen.
And maybe you're back there praying like crazy because I invited him, I brought him. Amen. I'll even go with him. I'll go with him. Your sins are forgiven. That was radical. He would be criticized for that. Who on earth has power to forgive sins but God alone? The scribes and the Pharisees were whispering amongst themselves. Now, you may not receive your doctorate of divinity degree for doing what God asks you to do outside the box. You may not impress the really knowledgeable religious people who know how to do it properly, but they will admire the results.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He always does. He said, well, I had a choice here, gentlemen. You tell me, which is the easiest thing to do? Wash the feet of this pathetic, alcoholic, homeless man? Or say, God loves you, and he wants to forgive you of all your sin and give you a new life in Christ? Which would be the easiest, just to love or to bring about that miracle that you're all looking for? You see, the love and the acceptance are the first miracle.
Yes,
That's the first miracle. The second will follow automatically and naturally. So I say unto you, arise. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. That's what we're looking for. Results. But the real results came when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you.
Beautiful.
Well, we could go on a little bit further, but I'm going to bring this to a close. And this is not what I was going to bring today. But I really sense the heart of your pastors. And from what I heard in the congregation and the prophecy that came this morning. Time to move. Time to move. I think of the question that God asked Elijah as he was running from Jezebel, all discouraged, despondent, thinking his life was over, sitting down under a broom tree and saying, I'm no better than my ancestors. Just take me home, God. I can't deal with it anymore. Three times throughout that chapter, God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? 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 You see, God was working in Elijah's life. He thought it was pretty well over. But God had other plans. God had other plans. So I'm speaking to the church and I'm speaking to you as an individual. God isn't finished with you yet.
Amen.
There's some good things coming your way.
Amen.
As you obey the Lord to bring your friends to Christ. Let's bow our hearts together. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I sense your sweet Spirit in this place today. And I sense the Spirit challenging all of us today, Lord, to go beyond what we consider our comfort zone and to launch out into an area of ministry, thinking outside the box, doing those things that you commanded us to do, and putting one foot in front of another by faith. And taking with us that gospel good news message that the world is so desperately in need of hearing. Father, I pray today that you would give the pastors and leadership of this beautiful fellowship inspiration to go forward and to do things, Lord, that maybe they've never tried before. And God, give us as the congregation the patience and the prayer support that they'll need. And then, Lord, as we open our doors for others to come, we realize, Lord, that they may not always be dressed just like we would like. We understand, Lord, that there may be people that need their feet washed, but oh, Jesus, you led the way for us. And you said, in as much as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And we know, Lord, there's a lot of people, whether they're economically blessed or secure, or they are not, that need their feet washed. They need their soul washed. They need to meet you, Lord Jesus. And because they've tried to get in the church before and people wouldn't let them in and there was just all of this conflict going on, and they decided, I'll never do that again. Organized religion is not my thing. Show them, Lord, it's not about organized religion. It's about where Jesus is in the house. And the Word is being preached. Hallelujah. I pray that the Word, as I know it will and is, will go forth, Lord, across this pulpit to hungry hearts, transforming them. Transforming them, Lord. And then, Lord, may we who are here part to let the paralyzed, to let in the lepers, to let in the homosexuals, to let in people that are searching for something besides what the world has to offer. And help us to go out and bring them in. If needs be, we'll pack their bed.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I don't know if you know this little chorus or not, but if you do sing along, if not, then just listen to it. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet, for in you I am complete. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Stand with me, would you? If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet, for in you I am complete. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Spirit of the living God, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Trask, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, I'm ready to extend my hand to some loved ones, to some neighbors, and carry them across the threshold of faith. I'm ready to do what I can and to step out in faith, even if I'm uncomfortable, but I want the Holy Spirit to use me and to shine forth through me and to love through me in a way that will be irresistible. And I offer myself and I offer my hands for ministry to bring those to the house of God that are in so desperate plight. In Jesus' name. If our musicians would like to play softly. Pastor Kev, I just feel like what I'd like to do is call any of you forward today that would just come and say, I'd like you to pray that God will use my hands. I may be a senior. I may have my own issues going on, but I still have breath in my body. I still have love in my heart. And I still have the ability to speak and connect with people. And I just want to hold my hands out and say, would you pray for my hands this morning that God would take me where I have never gone before to reach the lost. Would you come as we pray and Pastor Kevin joins? Don't be bashful.